you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. One of the things I like to do, if you're a regular listener to the show, you probably know, is I like to sort of follow up with bands that I have on the show, sometimes a year later, sometimes multiple years later. And the guests on this episode were last on in 2022, which doesn't seem right. It seems like that just happened. But
that's crazy.
It's been 3 years somehow. I think the best way to start this off is if the two of you want to introduce yourselves and give a bit of background about the project you're doing. Because last time you were on the show, you were just doing it under your own names. You were just sort of launching a live show. That was the new thing that was happening. You've obviously been active a lot more in the local music scene since then. So, yeah, just give a quick intro as to who you are and what you do.
Yeah, so I'm Tony Mazza, and I write all the music and mostly play guitar and synths and stuff for the project. And
I'm Giovanna, and Giovanna Mazza, and I'm just the vocalist and like the a little bit more of like the performance side of Luana Moth.
Cool. And last time I had you on the show, Luana Moth was just the name of the album. Like, you were using your own names. Obviously, this has all changed in terms of how you're presenting this project. For people who haven't heard it before, how do you describe it? I know it's the worst question to start off with, but how do you sort of define the sound of what you do? Because there's a lot happening there. I mean, I think it covers a few different genres that are sort of melded together. Like, do you have a Cole's Notes way of explaining what it is you sound like?
Yeah, I guess I try to keep things pretty pretty vague, but I guess my most, I think, like, fluent musical language that I feel like I can play in the best is just like vaguely prog rock and electronica.
Okay.
And it'll encompass a lot of the little subgenres that fall into each of those, and they're always kind of intersecting. And so I think that's the safest way to describe it, and also moving like forward, the sounds are going to change a lot, but it'll always be, you know, in those two kind of monoliths of genres that kind of covers a lot of ground.
Okay.
To just say rock electronica.
sure. So, I mean, like I said, you know, this went from a project with just your names. You hadn't played a live show yet, I don't think, last time as this project. When I talked to you, things have changed. You're out there a lot. You obviously have a presentation to this as well. It's not just the music. There's the visual side of things happening and the stage side of things. At what point did it go from this recording project the two of you were doing to now this sort of active band?
Yeah, well, number one, the kind of, I guess, name change came about because when I first rolled out this project, what inspired this whole project was I came across this note in Gimli. It had a poem on it, and it was signed by someone named Luana Moth. And I just became obsessed, and I had to figure out who this person was because the note was very ominous and kind of just sunk its claws into me. And I went down this path and figured out she's like kind of this mythical person. There's all this hearsay and like stories about her. And originally when I got the music ready and I launched the project, I didn't have the guts to roll it out that way. So I just kind of said it was a story that I wrote, and I just didn't have, you know, it was all already kind of like, I was already kind of being like a little too ambitious and bold with like this concept album and this story. And I kind of just didn't have the guts to face, like, you know, the like embarrassment of people like rolling their eyes at like, oh yeah, okay, whatever. And then so, like, not long after, I just kind of decided I just didn't care, and it just felt weird calling this project Antonio Mazza, especially because very, very quickly Giovanna, like, clearly became a huge part of it.
Yeah.
And I just kind of felt like, let's just honor her name and just call the project Luana Mott. That's what the project is going to be and what it's always going to be. We're just constantly kind of unearthing her story. And yeah, so then, yeah. And then it's funny because when we talked, you had proposed, you know, you brought up the topic of playing live. And I believe I said, like, we have no plans or nothing because I need to get a whole band going. Like, I want to hire a drummer, bass player, live synths. And then I think it must have been weeks after that interview, Giovanna came to me one day and she was like, someone from work just asked us to open for them. And I was just like, I can't do this, like, constant overthinking and constant whatever. And even though deep in my mind, it was like, well, we can't play a live show right now. I was just like, no, let's just do it and figure it out. And so we're doing the laptop thing, and we have been, and it's going really awesome. And I still have plans that I want to, you know, eventually build this out into a full live band. But yeah, Ironically, we're playing live too much to tackle that. So, yeah.
So I guess that's really cool. I do remember seeing something like very shortly after we talked saying you're playing a show, and I was like, wait a minute, didn't we just say?
Yeah.
But
I said that too. I was like, wait a minute, what are we doing?
No, that's great. It's great though. I mean, it's really cool. So I guess maybe Giovanna, a question for you then. As far as the way this is presented live, because there's only two of you and you're doing the vocals, you're sort of the, you know, the focus of a lot of people. You know, when anyone's playing a show, the vocalist is often sort of the person in front, the focus. Obviously, he's doing the music and so is the laptop. But how is this presented? Like, how do you sort of see these performances from your point of view?
Oh, they are just so special. They are cathartic, and it's it definitely, as much as I have in my power, I really try to, like, carry out a story from beginning to end, whether the audience can exactly pick up on all the little things that I'm doing in my head, I'm not fully sure, but
yeah.
I mean, I am. It seems like people are really enjoying it, and people have parts that they like and parts that are familiar if they've come a couple times, which is so special. But I don't even know, like, how it, I don't know, it just, like, the production just came so naturally, like, for me, very much so. And as I'm sure these past 3 years have been really transformative for Tony, they really particularly have been for me, just as I've, like, entered my early 20s and, like, the person I was at the first Luana Moth show 3 years ago compared to now. Like, this project has helped me so much in just, like, discovering myself, discovering my creativity. And yeah, it's just interesting, you know. I always thought that this was, like, I was always going to be a part of this project, but it was very much so always going to be his, and it is very much his, but I do feel now like there's this small part that really is mine.
Cool.
And
it's a big part. It's like,
but you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I don't know. I kind of just feel like you bring it to life. Like, yeah. Somehow you channel, I don't know. It's, yeah.
Well, that's what you want with somebody like this too, right? I mean, because you have this storyline, you have this sort of mythology behind, like, the whole sort of backstory behind what you're doing. And I mean, it seems like the kind of thing that lends itself to bringing to life rather than just sort of sitting up there and playing it, right?
Yeah. And I feel like somehow I have, not to make you jealous, but I've, like, found, I now have, like, the privilege of understanding Luana almost in, like, a little bit of a different way.
Okay.
Just as, like, being her voice and speaking those lyrics and whatnot, and Yeah, it's
yeah, good. And I mean, not also like to mention, she also, there's a kind of like facet of our project now, this little, well, it's not really little, this sort of mini museum thing, just because like we, as we, you know, over the years, we've found little artifacts pertaining to Luana and made some of our own little things.
Cool.
Well, again, I can't say we, because it's almost 90% Giovanna, and she kind of took that, and I'm kind of planning that, like, yeah, okay, that's, do it, run with it. And so it's kind of this whole other facet to the project that she has contributed, and it's kind of feeling like the collaboration on this project is like, you know, most projects are like, it's just the music. It's like two or three, I just said duo, two people work on music together. For us, it's kind of like, I do the music, Giovanna is taking everything else.
Cool.
But, and hopefully in the future that'll, you know, branch out, you know, into visuals and all that kind of stuff. I'm more than happy to hand the reins over to her on that kind of stuff. She just understands the assignment.
Right on.
Just with the museum thing, she just like absolutely blew me away, and yeah.
So how important is it, I guess, for listeners to, because I mean, you're playing a show, a bunch of people are going to be there. Maybe they have heard you before. Maybe they haven't. Maybe they know some of the story. Maybe they don't. How important is it to sort of get them into the world of what you're talking about? Because like you said, you have this museum side of things. There's obviously sort of a very detailed, in-depth story you're trying to present. Does it matter? Like, are you hoping to get people in just based on them enjoying the music and then maybe sort of delving more into it that way?
I mean, it's how, in whatever capacity people are interested, I'm grateful. Like, but you can just enjoy it as just come listen to the music or listen to the album and enjoy it. But I will say it's probably very enriching to get into the lore of it. Just,
yeah.
I can only say that from my experience with other, art I'm very into, whether it's movies or music, you know, certain artists.
Yeah.
I don't know. The backstory and the lore just always enriches the experience so much. So, like, I you know, I'm sure you can just listen to it and have fun and, you know, jam with the tracks. And that's great if that's all anyone wants to do. If they only want to, you know, listen to even just like one song,
yeah,
the single or whatever, like, go for it. But there's a lot there, and we've put in a lot of work into so many, into the just the minutia of the project that I just very strongly encourage you to dig in there and find all these little, you know, Easter eggs and
Do you think that sort of rewards close listening, people are repeat listening, even? I mean, people, as far as the recordings are concerned, I mean, people can maybe listen to it the first time through and just enjoy the music, and then maybe as they're sort of picking up on the lore, they can find those Easter eggs.
Yeah.
And we've had, like, so basically, like, the layout of the museum, there's an artifact that represents every song and then a couple other extra artifacts. And just with working with that, like, we had someone come to our show and write a little journal article about how they kind of dissected those items, and that was just so rewarding, like, to have someone pieces together, and it was just wonderful. But it is right before your eyes.
And I think also, like, I just don't again, I don't care however someone wants to enjoy it. I just, like, just don't want anyone to think it's just nonsense, like word salad, like weird weird words like metroxalon or pentometra. It's not just as much as it is kind of like, that word looks so cool on paper, it's also like every single syllable holds meaning. And I don't want to be super pretentious, but it's none of this is like nonsense. It's all like very, very deliberately placed and thought out. And then also, it's also like, I want to honor the story of Luana. So, like, I want to tell her story, and it's there, or tell it the best I can.
Sure. How much more material is there to draw from this lore? I mean, you know, you've been doing this band for a number of years now. I'm sure you're making new music. You got a lot of shows happening. Is this story sort of continuing? Are you finding ways to further develop that lore into new sounds?
I mapped out this huge chicken scratch roadmap of this whole story, as much of it as I knew before I made any music, before the debut album came out. And it, like, encompasses like hundreds of pages and like just notes on my phone and blah, blah, blah. And then basically I just got to a point where I was like, okay, let's start translating some of this to music. And I picked a very small portion of it, and that's what became the debut album.
Sure.
So I kind of just picked a spot in the middle and made the debut album, but there's so much that it comes after and so much before. So now I basically kind of have like maybe, I don't know, I'd say 3 or 4 albums worth of material.
Cool.
Just kind of in the works, like at various degrees of doneness. Like, some of it's hardly done, but I know it's there. Like, the basic skeletal structures of the songs are there. But right now we're mostly working on a period of her life that came before what's told on the debut album.
Okay, cool.
And that'll be an album that I'd say probably accounts for like a few months of her life.
Okay, so you have all this, all you can, there's places you can go with it, obviously. You have all this
very like self-generative, like there's no lacking for inspiration. It feels like this incredible gift to me, because I'm just like never never had a writer's block. I'm just kind of always inspired, and it's just like a gift that just keeps on giving.
How closely are you both involved with that story? Is there a lot of sort of talking about which elements of it you want to put to music, or is that sort of your department and then you just do the vocals, or how does that work between the, how does the labor split between the two of you, I guess, with telling the story?
Yeah, like I guess I'm mostly in charge of the music and picking like what we're going to do, but just more and more, it's also kind of just going off of Giovanna's vibe and like picking what I want to do. It's like, it's with Giovanna in mind. Okay. And yeah, like there's a song that's like not officially out that's kind of floating around called Saint Quasia, and that's what we've been doing our that's our encore song. It's so it's not on the debut album. And when I got Giovanna to do it, it just kind of like confirmed to me like everything that she contributes to the project. And it like, you know, I just was going in so blind on the debut album, and Giovanna was tiny. She was like 16 years old, and now it's like, now I kind of know the voice I'm working with, I kind of know her strong suits. Mm-hmm. And When I picked that part of the story, I was like, I feel like Giovanna can really do a lot with this. And then we recorded it, and I was like, holy fuck, she can. And I was like, wow. And then even live, like, she sings it with, like now she's more familiar with it. It's, like, with the power of, like, 1,000 goddesses behind her. It's very, yeah, it's very intense. And, yeah, so...
Well, I was gonna say it probably goes both ways, right? The familiarity with the music. I mean, you're more familiar with her vocals. She's more familiar with your sort of style of writing these and the way the songs are sort of developed. So I can imagine that would be, it's getting better over the years of doing this together, right?
Yeah.
So, one of the things I thought was cool, and then the reason I actually decided to reach out again was I saw you playing Into the Music show, like an in-store. So I love those shows. I think they're awesome. They keep doing them. How does something like this work in a small space like that? Because, I mean, what you're doing is very big. There's two of you, but the whole concept and everything and sort of the sound and everything is, that's a tiny stage in there. Like, and it'll be lights on and everything, right? And it's in the middle of the early evening. How do you sort of prepare for something like that, which is maybe going to be necessarily different than, you know, a show when it's dark and you got lights and you got all of the stage stuff going on?
I mean, I can't speak for Giovanna, but all I could say on my end is, like, I mean, we don't know either. Like, we'll see how it goes, but
just kind of bring the same vibes. Bring energy, same energy.
For me, all that matters is the sound is good. Sound is good, I can just fully get lost in it. And however you see us on stage, or I'll say me, because Giovanna's got a whole separate process however you see me on stage, it's like, it's not putting on a show. It's just me just getting absolutely lost in the music. And that could happen. That happens in this basement while we're practicing. Sometimes practices are not at all much different from a live show. I'm wigging out and, like, my guitar is like smacking into things because I'm on limited space. But what will it be like for you?
I've thought about that, like, okay, what kind of energy am I going to bring to this show? Or even, like, another thing too is I've wondered, like, what am I gonna wear? Because I have been making, like, all my costumes, and I'm like, okay, so what am I gonna wear? I think it is kind of fun to play almost with, like, a more, like, not laid back, but like it, like, whatever our version of laid back will be like for me, you know, like, maybe I'm more in an evening dress opposed to, like, full moth wings kind of thing, which I've been doing a little bit of. I'm just gonna kind of read the vibe as it is and lean into whatever it's providing. I think it's also really cool that it's, like, it's first Friday, so there's probably gonna be a lot of, like, in and outs, which is, like, really interesting. Like, someone can come 15 minutes into the set and be like,
I walk into?
I'm really excited.
I'm so unaware of my surroundings when we play that I don't think it's going to be much different for me. I think my nieces are going to be there.
Our nieces are going to be there.
This might be that first show they could come to, and they're like,
right, because all ages. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
so they'll probably be wiling out, and it'll create a feedback loop between us.
Right on. Is there, I mean, because you're using the laptop, how much room is there at the live shows to, not necessarily improvise, but that too, but also just how fluid is the set? Is it pretty much sort of necessarily set the way the laptop dictates it, or do you have space to change things?
It's pretty rigid in that, like, we're playing to the same backing tracks. I have some loop points set, so, like, if some parts are, like, jiving, I could, like, drag them out a bit. I don't do that too much, but there's a lot of, like, outside of that, there's a lot of improvisation on our end. Just, like, if I'm playing guitar, like, sometimes I'll play different guitar parts that just kind of come out of left field. And for sure, I would love a live band for that aspect, like, because that's kind of more my background.
Sure.
But then also, like, it is, like,
we are, like, in it is very much so in our nature. I don't know if it's how our mother raised us, but like, I feel like we are very regimented people. Like we like, do you know what I mean?
I kind of need routine.
Yeah.
So the structure stays the same, but you can alter the sound within that structure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, I'm just like, I'm always doing something live, whether it's the synths or guitars. And yeah, ironically, sometimes it's kind of harder because if you make a mistake, it sticks out like a sore thumb. Like with a band, everyone's kind of like masking each other, and
definitely
the looseness of not having like quantization kind of like blurs things a bit in a really, really nice, natural way. I'm finding with the backing tracks, like when you hit a bum note, it stands up and tells the whole damn audience. It's like,
for sure.
It's like, yeah.
Down with tied round her heels, written in blood, orange and teal. Hallowed wreaths tied round her heels, blood through the arc, orange and teal. Hallowed tied round her heels, written in blood, orange and teal. Hallowed wreaths tied round her heels, blood through the arc, orange and teal.
As of right now, we're preparing for two shows, one on this Thursday, which is a Luana Moth show, and then one on Friday, which is a David Lynch tribute show.
Right.
And Saturday as well.
Yeah, but on Saturday.
It'll be the same set, but... Yeah.
But, like, a couple days... Like, so we've been working through the David Lynch stuff, whatever, but yesterday we were like, hey, I think it's time to dive back into Luana Moth and, like, do our first run through before the... You know, before we start doing a couple more times before the show. And yeah, what did you say? You were like, you said something like, after we practiced, you were like, it's like we never left. Because, like, you know, this David Lynch stuff, we've been like working through, figuring it out. And then we do the Luana Moth show and it's like.
Yeah, it's still there.
I'm not like, when we practice, like performance is different. But when we practice, I'm like zoned out. I'm on autopilot mode. My brain just knows when to hit its marks, and it's like, yeah, it's crazy.
What is the? I mean, it's really. First of all, it's really cool you're playing so many shows. Especially because last time we talked, it was so new, right? But what's the reception been to the live show? Because I mean, again, like you said, there's a lot going on. It's just not just just standing up there playing a guitar and singing, right? There's a whole vibe to it. Have you had a good response from people?
Yeah,
I don't have.
There's no way to say it without like sounding like you're gloating.
Well, you have permission to gloat on the show.
Every show has I've been like absolutely gobsmacked by attendance, people's reactions.
Especially so like our the last three shows that we did was like in a series, like we called it like phase one, phase two, phase three. And the first phase was our first show. It was beginning of February, and it was our first show back since August.
Okay.
And my nervous system, it's such a successful show, and like my nervous system was like so shot that like for 3 days I was just like shaking. Like it was like, oh my god, oh, like it was people are just so kind, and it means so much that people enjoy it, and that people even care to come like again and again. And like a weird concept that like I've had to wrap my head around, like for the first time as a performer, is like people voluntarily spending money, like even though it's like $15-$20, like over and over again. Like,
yeah, I think that's the,
it's just so weird. Anyway,
yeah, you're doing something right, obviously, if people are willing to do that, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what kind of got me. It's one thing to have like, you know, well-attended shows, but seeing strangers who are not like, I don't know who they are, and they're coming to like 3-4 shows in a row is really crazy, and they end up being the nicest people in the world, and I'm glad we're not strangers anymore.
Yeah,
it's
just so interesting. Like we are so proud of the group of people that come out to our shows. It is such an eccentric, all ages, like just everything is so fluid, and it's just so interesting. Like it really, like I can't describe it other than it just feels like such a safe space. Like
cool. Yeah,
you found your people, or your people found you, I guess.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for people who haven't found you yet, that's a terrible segue, but how does someone hear this? If someone's hearing about you for the first time on the show and they want to find out more, they want to maybe learn about some of the lore, hear the recordings that you have already done, find out about live shows? What's the best way to track you down online?
Well, we're definitely like still most active posting on Instagram. The album is streaming everywhere. Yeah, that's where you'll find like a lot of the information is just keeping up on Instagram. No use like saying it now, but like I think in the next couple months we're probably gonna do some kind of website.
Cool.
Just something that is more self-contained and away from social media, just because it just seems like not the best or nicest avenue to experience, like, because we want to, like, we've been recording some videos and stuff like that, so we want to release that stuff, more long form stuff. I want to, you know, release like demos for new music and yeah. stuff. It just feels like it'd be nicer to have that on a website and just have it all together, and you know, a background of like the story and stuff, because yeah. if on Instagram it, you're kind of coming at it at it like
whatever the newest thing is, right? You're just getting whatever the most recent post is. Yeah. Cool. And then you have a few shows coming up. Obviously, there's the Into the Music one. You mentioned a few other ones. Is there a lot of shows planned? Are there a lot of shows planned for the sort of the next few months going into the spring and summer?
Yes.
Yes. I think as for right now, we have only announced up until the show May 2nd at Into the Music. But we do have two other shows for May.
Yeah. I don't want to get this wrong. May 16th, we are opening up for Dr. Rift.
Oh, cool.
For a release.
That seems like a very good fit musically.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it might be our first time playing with like someone who might be called prog rock. So
right on.
Yeah, that's cool. And then if I run and grab a calendar, can you edit this?
Well, you know what I can do? I can definitely link to like upcoming events on there.
So people
can check out the show notes and find where to find that on there. Because yeah, it's probably easier.
We announce all our shows on our Instagram. But yeah, and then also at the end of May, we're doing a house party. But it like, forget his name, but he's registered his house as a venue. He was doing shows before COVID.
Cool.
And now he wants to do it again. And then June, July, we're going to start doing our Project Quassia shows again, which are the ones that I plan.
Okay.
And those will be lots of new music.
Awesome.
So, yeah.